The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I'm Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Vision News. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you the ACB calendar of events on Friday and Saturday. The Mojo Lens and Vision Impairment from Blind Abilities. The NFB Parents of Blind Children has a women's retreat announcement from Resilient Solutions happening in July. Anthem is offering a paid summer internship for college students. That's being offered announcement through Bridges of Maryland. NFB is offering the EQ Summer Engineering Program again. So let's get started. From ACB.org, their calendar of recurring events. Friday's first week of each month, basic iPhone class, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 4:30 p.m. Pacific Time, 2:30 p.m. Hawaii Time. Have you been using an iPhone for a while, but don't feel you're getting the hang of it? Or did you just get one and feel overwhelmed by the learning curve? Please drop by for this friendly exchange of information, where the only silly question is the one you don't ask. Friday morning check-in and chat weekly, 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 6 a.m. Hawaii Time. It's Friday. That means the weekend is here, and it's the last day of work for most. Celebrate the end of the week with David and your fellow community members with some lively chatter and fun. Meet new people, reacquaint with old friends, and give yourself 60 minutes of smiles and good conversation to welcome in the start of the weekend. Friday's weekly CCLVI coffee break, 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 6 a.m. Hawaii Time. Come sip some coffee, tea, or whatever keeps you going on a Friday morning. Join Kathy and Tom for a relaxing chat to prepare for the weekend. Sponsored by Council of Citizens with Low Vision International. Friday's bi-weekly writing workshop, 12 p.m. Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 7 a.m. Hawaii Time. Each session, Cheryl brings a new topic or genre to share, often along with a guest presenter. Weekly on Fridays, Sheltering in Place, together, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 8 a.m. Hawaii Time. Stay for 10 minutes, stay the whole time. It's all good. We will discuss a wide range of topics. Come join the fun. Hosted by Teresa Christian and Pat Wallace of Oregon Council of the Blind. Friday's third week of the month, Albright Knox Art Gallery Descriptive Teleconference Tour. 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 9 a.m. Hawaii Time. Join us to learn about selected works in the Albright Knox's collection, special exhibitions, and those created through the Public Art Initiative. Tour themes change monthly and include in-depth verbal descriptions of artworks and opportunities for group discussion over the phone. Space is limited. Friday's weekly Apple presentation, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 p.m. Pacific Time, 10 a.m. Hawaii Time. Varying topics related to eye products each week. Sponsored by TTJ, the Tech Juggernaut. Friday's weekly Blindness Plus Other Disabilities Equals Courage and Overcoming, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Hawaii Time. A time to embrace, encourage, and experience multiple disabilities. One of your disabilities must be blind or low vision. Disclaimer, the purpose of this group is for peer support only. It is not a therapy group, nor will it be facilitated by a healthcare professional serving in a professional capacity. And it does not purport to provide mental health services. Friday's weekly In Perspective podcast, 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 12 p.m. Hawaii Time. Join us as we record the In Perspective podcast, where we build bridges and empower through interviews and conversation, a different guest and focus each week. Friday's weekly, Blind Health and Beauty, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Hawaii Time. No matter what your level of vision, you can learn useful and empowering non-visual beauty and grooming techniques that will build your self-confidence, independence, personal and professional self-image. Join Chelsea Nguyen, owner and trainer with CN Vision Image Consulting, LLC, for this special presentation and discussion. Friday's weekly, Visibilities, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Hawaii Time. Topics vary week to week. Friday's Weekly, The Joy of Music, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 4:30 p.m. Pacific Time, 2:30 p.m. Hawaii Time. Join Donna for a fun time discussing music. This is something that has no bounds. Everyone likes music of some kind. We all listen to music or create it for a myriad of reasons, and the best thing about music is it evokes happiness for all to share. Friday's Weekly, it's Playtime, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Hawaii Time. Mika and Cindy welcome you to join in for another fun Friday night filled with games and laughter. Saturday's second week of each month, celebrate you this month. 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific Time, 5 a.m. Hawaii Time. Come join Janine as we celebrate you. All the birthdays for this month will be celebrated right here on this call. Celebrate what you're all about. Saturday's Weekly, Weekend Wind Down, 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 6 a.m. Hawaii Time. Grab your favorite morning beverage and let's join Danette as we share an hour together, winding down from a long week. Saturday's Weekly, Healthy Living Accountability Check-In, 12 p.m. Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 7 a.m. Hawaii Time. Join others in the community for goal setting and an idea sharing around staying healthy. Whether it's supporting you on your weight loss journey, trying to lower your cholesterol, blood sugar, or blood pressure, becoming more physically fit, giving up a bad habit, or something else altogether, here's a chance for each of us to hold ourselves accountable in a supportive environment. Let's get together once a week and celebrate successes, encourage one another through struggles, and become a healthier member of this ACB community in the process. Disclaimer, the purpose of this group is for peer support only. It is not a therapy group, nor will it be facilitated by a healthcare professional, and it does not purport to provide mental health services. Saturday's Weekly, Angel Eyes, 12 p.m. Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 7 a.m. Hawaii Time, a 60-minute workout. Sponsored by Angel Eyes Fitness and Nutrition. Saturday's second week of each month, ACB Home, Garden, and Agriculture, 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 12 p.m. Hawaii Time. In this monthly event, Deborah will talk with guests and take calls about living sustainably, raising animals, and growing plants. Saturday's biweekly Caregiver Support Group, 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Hawaii Time. If you are a caregiver or have a friend or loved one in long-term care or assisted living, this group is for you. For all of us, this has been a very difficult time and we need one another. Let's get together and give each other virtual hugs. Disclaimer, the usual. Saturday's third week of each month, Casual Saturday Chat, 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 12 p.m. Hawaii Time. Join ACB Diabetics in Action for a casual conversation. Grab your favorite drink and join this social event. This is a great time to meet and share with other diabetics and friends or family of diabetics. Sponsored by ACB Diabetics in Action. Saturday's biweekly Grief Journey, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Hawaii Time. Have you lost someone important in your life? Many of us are experiencing a journey of grieving. Please join us to share and support one another at whatever point we are in our journey. Disclaimer, the usual. Saturday's weekly Karaoke Night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Hawaii Time. Mika and Cindy are besties who love to go to karaoke together, but now they live 2,300 miles apart, and there's a pandemic. So they're opening their Zoom room for some crazy singing fun, and hope you'll decide to join in. Get your karaoke song queued up on your computer. Grab your favorite beverage of choice, and whether you come to sing or not, take part in some community time. From blindabilities.com, the Mojo Lens is focused on bringing superpowers to low vision. A conversation with Dr. Ashley Twan, VP of Medical Devices at Mojo Vision. Dr. Ashley Twan, Vice President of Medical Devices at Mojo Vision, joins Jeff Thompson in the Blind Abilities Studio about the development of a new and innovative product for low vision individuals called Mojo Lens. Dr. Twan discusses the fascinating and impressive capabilities of these high-tech contact lenses, which are placed on the white part of the user's eye called the sclera. With the help of a wearable device which serves as a relay, the lenses will project a variety of images to the retina, providing a heads-up and hands-free display for the individual. Dr. Tuan has been with Mojo Vision for the last 5 years and shares her passion and her very personal reason for embarking on this meaningful journey. As the product has evolved not only into a promising technology for sighted people, but also a significant tool which will offer enhanced vision and information for individuals with low vision. The Mojo lens will be able to project various images onto a functioning portion of the retina, much like the normal eye does, in the form of an inconspicuous contact lens. Thus, the array is sometimes referred to as invisible computing. Mojo Vision is proceeding methodically with the creation of its prototype and enlisting the feedback of numerous low vision members of the nearby Vista Center, a nonprofit organization which provides a wide variety of services to blind and visually impaired clients. This ensures that relevant and meaningful input is used with each step of the research and development process. Be sure to set aside a few minutes to hear about this remarkable device as Jeff Thompson chats with Dr. Tuan and reveals its almost futuristic capabilities that will afford low-vision individuals improved sight. Through such features as magnification and highlighting of object edges, coupled with other sources of information like text messages relayed from your smartphone or the cloud, you can learn more about Mojo Vision on the company's website, mojo.vision. Contact your estate services. If you reside in Minnesota and you would like to know more about transition services from state services, contact Transition Coordinator Sheila Koenig by email or contact her via phone at 651-539-2361. This is from a Facebook post in the National Organization of Parents of Blind Children from Becky Andrews of Resilient Vision. Excited to share that I am teaming up with a dear sister and another therapist in private practice who is also blind, Melissa Tausig, to offer a virtual retreat for moms who share the experience of a child of any age who is blind or low vision. There is such connection and empowerment of sharing our stories and finding a sisterhood. We have offered 11 retreats for women who are blind and low vision. This retreat will be for moms with a child who is blind and low vision. I know my mom is such an advocate and cheered me on the journey. I look forward to facilitating this retreat with Melissa and the bonds that happen as we come together with shared experiences. Our group will be kept small, 10 women for all to have the opportunity to share and connect both during the weekend and following. The photo image reads, "For women with a child who is blind or low vision, daring to own your story virtual retreat." Facilitated by Becky Andrews, LCMHC, and Melissa Tausig, LCPC, Taussig is her last name spelling. To join us for this retreat, contact Taylor at resilientsolutionsinc@gmail.com. Retreat will be held Friday, July 30th, 3 to 5:30 p.m. Pacific Time, Saturday, July 31st, 8 to 10:30 a.m., and 11:30 to 2 p.m. Pacific Time. $95 donation to Oasis Center for Hope by PayPal, becky.lpc@gmail.com, Venmo, resilientsolutions-OCH, or check to Oasis Center for Hope, 1355 North Main Street, Suite 1, Bountiful, Utah, 84010. Hashtags nonprofit organization, hashtag connection, hashtag support, hashtag advocating, hashtag you are not alone, hashtag women's supporting women. Also announced on the NOPBC group, paid Lex Frieden internship openings available at Anthem. From Bridges Free Help Desk for Maryland Blind Low Vision Transition Students. Friday find from the Free Bridges Help Desk. Paid Lex Frieden, F-R-I-E-D-E-N, internship openings available in Anthem. Anthem has 30 openings for paid internships this summer for undergraduate and graduate students. 2021 summer interns will be integral to Anthem's teams in a variety of roles. Interns should be prepared for a fast-paced team environment in an internship providing a robust developmental experience and exposure to various areas of healthcare, including policy, advocacy, sales, IT, communications, clinical and management support, and outreach and marketing. As part of this paid internship experience, interns are responsible for supporting their respective teams and contributing toward Anthem's broader goals. Students with disabilities are strongly encouraged to apply. To apply, candidates can check out the Anthem career site at careers.antheminc.com. https://t.e2ma.net/click/3v9zum/fpsf2ai/ftzn8fe. And search for Lex Frieden Internship 014-1400. Possible roles may include disability policy engagement, support Anthem's team in ensuring people with disabilities and older adults are included in healthcare and essential life discussions that affect independence and in access to care and services. Includes research, policy, participation, and coordination of community events and conferences, and engagement with diverse stakeholders. Enrollment and billing. Support teams with managing documentation of inventory, supply chain management, and data governance. Responsibilities include receiving inbound calls, providing excellent customer service, and creating records in our sales database. Growth and engagement. Support Anthem's team in community relations, focusing on outreach and event development and member retention. Assisting with expanding brand awareness, increasing partnerships, and evaluating performance of planned initiatives. Health plan operations. Join one of Anthem's leading health plans in fulfilling their mission through areas such as marketing, actuarial, communications, IT, and sales support. Customer care. Engage directly with members to maintain positive customer relations and ensure customer requests and questions are handled appropriately and in a timely manner. For questions about specific positions and how to apply, contact email Merrill, M-E-R-R-I-L-L, dot Friedman, F-R-I-E-D-M-A-N, at anthem.com, and email Yvette, Y-V-E-T-T-E, dot Booker, B-O-K-E-R, at anthem.com. Contact the Free Bridges Health Desk for Maryland Blind and Low Vision Transition students, families, and educators anytime. Accessible web form, https://forms.gle/capital G capital V n capital V capital Y 3 6 n x 8 n t 9 c capital W capital U 8. Text, send to 410-305-9199. Email, helpdesk@imagemd.org. Website, https://imagemd.org/bridges-help-desk. Voicemail, call 443-320-4003. Leave a voicemail message and we will return your call. Facebook page, https://www.facebook.com/bridges4MarylandBlindLowVisionTransition. Direct Facebook message to m.me/bridges4MarylandBlindLowVisionTransition. This unique project is being coordinated through the Image Center of Maryland, a center for independent living in Towson, and it is funded by a grant from the Maryland Department of Education Division of Special Education and Early Intervention Services. From NFB.org, NFBEQ. The National Federation of the Blind Engineering Quotient Program is a week-long summer engineering program for blind and low-vision teens from around the United States. NFBEQ is jam-packed with fun and learning. Participants spend each day engaged in activities designed to strengthen their knowledge of engineering as well as their problem-solving abilities. In the evenings, participants explore the local community and participate in various recreational activities. Throughout the week, participants will forge new friendships while increasing their self-confidence and independence. Important 2021 program update. This year, NFBEQ will be held virtually due to the safety threat from COVID-19 pandemic. Your health and safety remain our top priority. NFBEQ Online will be held July 5th through 30th, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern. Participants will receive all needed materials. Application. Applications for the 2021 NFBEQ Online program are now open. Deadline to apply is May 10th, 2021. Apply today. There are hot links for the NFBEQ English application and the NFBEQ Spanish application. Who should apply? Blind and low vision teens enrolled in grades 9 through 12 during the 2020 to 2021 school year in the United States who are ready to learn new things, meet new people, and have an adventure this summer are encouraged to apply. More information. For more information, please contact us at 410-659-9314, extension 2418, or at stem@nfb.org. NFBEQ is part of the NFB's Spatial Ability and Blind Engineering Research Project, which is funded by the National Science Foundation. This material is based upon work supported by the National Science Foundation under grant number 171-2887. Any opinions, findings, and conclusions or recommendations expressed in this material are those of the authors and do not necessarily reflect the views of the National Science Foundation. An opinion piece posted in the OttawaCitizen.com, ENTLE, A-N-T-L-E, shared e-scooters will make Ottawa's streets and sidewalks more dangerous. Sharing public space with these devices will lead to injuries, especially among the disabled and visually impaired. April 10, 2021. Recently, Ottawa Council passed a motion to allow and expand the use of e-scooters on our streets in the downtown and some suburbs, putting blind people, other persons with disabilities, and all pedestrians at risk. Despite the very real safety concerns raised by various groups, Council did not even require the e-scooter companies to implement measures to lessen the risks. Last summer, the city ran its first e-scooter pilot project in the downtown area. Of course, there were far fewer pedestrians in the city's core because of COVID-19. Nevertheless, there were many cases of e-scooters illegally parked, blocking pedestrian traffic, and instances of e-scooter users driving along the sidewalks. These e-scooters are motorized vehicles that can travel at 20 kilometers per hour and can be rented by anyone over the age of 16 with a smartphone app. There are no insurance requirements, and helmets do not have to be worn if the driver is 18 or over. To make matters worse, e-scooters are a silent menace, emitting no sound. This pilot project was tried in Montreal and had to be discontinued because of widespread disregard for the rules. Toronto City Council is also considering allowing e-scooters to operate there, but the city's Accessibility Advisory Committee has unequivocally come out against this proposal because of the safety threats that would be imposed on Toronto pedestrians. As shared e-scooters become more prevalent in cities around the world, there have been corresponding increases in the number of injuries associated with these devices. For example, Calgary, which currently allows shared e-scooters, has seen hundreds of emergency room and urgent care visits attributed to injuries caused by the use of these vehicles. I'm a blind Ottawa resident and lead the Ottawa Gatineau chapter of the Alliance for Equality of Blind Canadians, AEBC. Our chapter is very disappointed with the council's disregard for the safety of disabled persons and indeed all pedestrians. Imagine walking along the sidewalk with your child as a silent e-scooter approaches from behind while your child inadvertently sidesteps into its path unaware of it. The risk is even more pronounced if you are a blind person walking with a white cane or guide dog and have no warning of an e-scooter's approach. This is not an acceptable risk to impose on pedestrians, especially pedestrians who are blind, disabled, or elderly. Ottawa's sidewalks should be pedestrian-friendly and not allow people to be put at risk by e-scooters. At the very least, if council is determined to allow e-scooters, it should follow the advice put forward by the AEBC and other groups representing persons with disabilities. E-scooters should be equipped with a device to emit a sound so that pedestrians are aware of the scooter's approach. A bell is not sufficient since it depends on the user ringing it. These scooters should also have to be parked at designated docking stations before the user's billing period ends. Finally, they should be prevented from riding along sidewalks by either electronic means, if possible, or through increased enforcement and penalties. I don't think that many people realize how much these e-scooters will increase congestion and the safety threats they will pose to both riders and pedestrians. If you are as concerned as I am, please contact your council person to revisit this decision and require, at the very least, the mitigation measures outlined above. I would like to thank Somerset Ward's Catherine McKenney for being the only counselor to recognize the risks and vote against council's motion. Wayne Antle is president, Ottawa Gatineau chapter of the Alliance for Equality of Blind Canadians, blindcanadians.ca. Twitter handle at WANTLE1. Email WANTLE9136@gmail.com. Uber ordered to pay $1.1 million after blind woman was denied rides more than a dozen times. From CNN, Uber has been ordered to pay $1.1 million after an arbitrator ruled that the rideshare company's drivers discriminated against the blind woman and her guide dog on more than a dozen separate occasions. Lisa Irving, a California resident, said she was denied rides or verbally abused by drivers 14 times in 2016 and 2018, Irving's attorney, Adam Wolf, told CNN. I feel demeaned, humiliated, devalued, embarrassed, angered, frustrated, and violated, Irving said in a video statement. She was awarded $324,000 in damages and more than $800,000 in attorney fees and court costs, according to the arbitrator's award posted online by her attorneys. The arbitrator rejected Uber's argument that it was not responsible for its driver's violations of the ADA because they are independent contractors. Whether its drivers are employees or independent contractors, Uber is nonetheless subject to the ADA as a result of its contractual relationship with its drivers, the award said. An Uber spokesperson said the company disagreed with the award and said its community guidelines prohibit drivers denying rides to passengers with service animals. We are proud Uber's technology has helped people who are blind obtain rides and regret Ms. Irving's experience. Drivers using the Uber app are expected to serve riders with service animals and comply with accessibility and other laws. And we regularly provide education to drivers on that responsibility. Our dedicated team looks into each complaint and takes appropriate action, the company said in a statement. In addition to being denied rides, Irving said some drivers who came to pick her up became verbally abusive toward her and her service dog, Bernie, according to the award. She alleged some rides she was denied led her to be late to work and contributed to her separation from her employer, according to the award. Irving said she felt unsafe because of at least one driver's behavior, according to the award. The driver yelled at her to get out of his car at least 15 times, at one point pulling over to demand she get out in a dangerous area, making her feel helpless by his intimidation and threats, the arbitrator wrote. Irving filed complaints against the drivers with Uber, according to the award. Uber is liable for each of these incidents under the DOJ interpretation of the ADA, as well as due to Uber's contractual supervision over its drivers, and for its failure to prevent discrimination by properly training its drivers, the award said. Irving's attorneys filed a petition to affirm the award Thursday in San Francisco Superior Court, according to a news release. Of all Americans who should be liberated by the rideshare revolution, the blind and visually impaired are among those who stand to benefit the most. However, the track record of major rideshare services has been spotty at best and openly discriminatory at worst. The bottom line is that under the Americans with Disabilities Act, a guide dog should be able to go anywhere a blind person can go. And in Uber 2016, Uber settled a lawsuit filed by the NFB. I ran out of time for this week's Vision News. I hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to listen next week. I'm Doris Hyde, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. The new program is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please call 919-832-5138 if you have comments and questions. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.